Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's taken from Romans 15, 5 and 6. I use that a lot of times before sermons. Pastors sometimes use grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. I chose to use those two verses because they fit with the sermon, which is the text is from 1 John. And if I were to summarize these two verses, I would say one word, yes. And I'll tell you what that means in a moment or two. The text is from 1 John. Especially verse 1 of chapter 3 and also verse 2. Verse 1, consider this. The Father has given us his love. He loves us so much that we are actually called God's dear children. And that's what we are. For this reason, the world doesn't recognize us, and it didn't recognize him either. Dear friends, now we are God's children. What we will be isn't completely clear yet. We do know that when Christ appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. This is our text. I want you to picture this. A school playground in Nazareth. And a child comes up to Jesus and says, tell us about your father. As a five-year-old, how would Jesus have responded to that question? Probably, God's my dad. Pretty hard to top that one. It might be great to be the son or daughter of a tycoon or a movie star, but to be the child of no one less than God himself, that would be something special. In John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said to his disciples, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. That's good news. Even for us today. It means that we too are children of God. We weren't born that way, nor do we have the right to claim that title because of sin. Sin has torn us from that beautiful father-child relationship we were meant to have with God. In fact, the Father's love for us is so great that he sent Jesus, our brother, to bring us back into the family. And Jesus came into this runaway world and went to hell and back, not to suffer, he did that on the cross, but he went to hell and back to win for us the forgiveness of all our sins and the right of adoption as God's children. We are indeed picked out special by God and adopted into the heavenly family. My theme for today is the mission of the church, the mission of Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church is to be a divine adoption agency, to reach out to all the fatherless in this world. Fatherless is capitalized with a capital F. Out there where people are without God. And to clue them in to this good news of adoption. For God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has given his church some pretty powerful instruments to effect this adoption process. None other than his holy word and the sacraments, the means of grace. You might say that God's word is a notice to the homeless world. Hey, world! You who are lost, what's missing in our church today? The middle two letters of church. You are. That's our mission as a church, to reach out to people and let them know that they are missed. Do you know that there's a loving Father out there looking for you and wants to bring you home with his son Jesus? Perhaps we should go home and dig out our baptismal certificates, because they are our own personal adoption papers. Recall how the heavens opened when Jesus went to be baptized and a Holy Spirit descended from above, and a voice from heaven that said, "You are my son whom I love. I am pleased with you." And what God spoke to Jesus that day, he also spoke to you on the day that you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now that God has taken the initiative of adopting all of us into his family, we possess full rights and privileges as his children, and right off the bat, that means we look forward to our inheritance, namely heaven itself, everlasting life. And how long is life? This long. This is life on earth. And besides that, our adoption as children of God means that we get a whole new family, a family we call the church, where we melt our hearts and voices in oneness, the unity of the Spirit with our fellow redeemed from every corner of the globe, to share our needs, to share our hurts, to intercede for one another before the one whom we all can address as our Father. Do you remember the story in the Bible of the parents bringing their children coming to see Jesus? Can you picture that? I think we usually visualize these nice, polite children sedately shuffling up to Jesus and asking him for a blessing, right? I would beg to differ. It wasn't that way at all. Tell me, when have you ever seen a bunch of kids behave like that? Coming up to Jesus, I think they were more likely jumping all over Jesus, maybe tugging on his beard. Hey, Jesus, watch what I can do. Jesus, when is it my turn to sit on your lap? And I hope you can imagine Jesus rolling around on the ground, wrestling with them and hoisting some of them up on his shoulder in a playful mood. And into this scene, here comes the disciples thinking that this was all too rowdy and unbecoming for the King of Kings. St. Mark records it this way: some people brought little children to Jesus to have him hold them, but the disciples told the people not to do that. When Jesus saw this, he became irritated. He told them, "Don't stop the children from coming to me. Children like these are part of the kingdom of God, and I can guarantee this truth. Whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God as a little child receives it will never enter it." Jesus put his arms around the children and blessed them by placing his hands on them. Can't you just picture this beautiful scene all the while Jesus going back to hugging every kid he could get his hands on. And the disciples, no doubt, just walking away, muttering to themselves once again and wondering what he meant this time. The disciples are still learning. You wonder about the children coming up to Jesus. I had that experience last Sunday when I was in Gillette. And after the service and after the cup of friendship, I was at the front door of the church, and here were these two little children. One was two, the other one I think was probably four. And the little four-year-old says, "I have magic marbles." I said, "You do? Yeah, I'll show you. But you got to turn around and face the wall first." And she made those marbles disappear. And then she told me I couldn't turn around until she told me I could. And I did. And she held out her two little fists. "Pick one." So I picked one on the her left. And she giggled and opened it up, and it was empty. "Oh, it must be the other one." So I guessed the other fist. And she giggled and opened it up. It was empty, too. I said, "Where did they go?" "I don't know," she says. Then there's a tissue on the table. She lifts up that tissue. "Well, there they are." The two-year-old by this time was sitting at my feet, tapping my foot. And she had these glow sticks that didn't work anymore, but she wanted to put them together, and she went, and handed them to me. And I thought, that's what the children did with Jesus. I said, what a visual to have that experience. When you think about Jesus with the children, he pulled those little children to him. He was hugging their little hearts, and who simply loved him and weren't afraid to show it. They trusted him and his love for them. And that's why we sing that song in Sunday school, "Jesus loves me, this I know," and so on. So we don't need shrinks. We don't need stress seminars. We don't need psychoanalysis to pull us together as much as we need faith. Pure, simple, childlike faith. We need a Father to whom we can pour out our hearts to. For example, when you hear the word cancer, do you need some vague supreme being, or do you need a Father to hold you up and a brother who spread his arms wide on a cross for you, who died and rose again to give you the strength and the hope you need for such a time as this? When your life is falling apart, when your hopes and dreams are crashing down on you, what do you need but a Father, a tender Father who's always there for you every step of the way? Yes, to have a childlike faith. And so you can think of Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church, yes. And yes stands for, each letter stands for another word or two. Y is youth, E is enlighten, and S is by the Spirit of Christ. To have a childlike faith, our youth enlightened by the Spirit of Christ. You are all the youth, no matter what age you are, youth enlightened by the Spirit of Christ, and that you have a childlike faith. And I hope and pray that Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church is not thinking of obstacles or barriers that you are facing in the years ahead, but rather possibilities and promises in the mission of your church. I hope your worship is like play, where you experience joy and exuberance and celebration in your heart and soul. And I hope your prayers are like what Luther wrote, dear children asking their dear father. And what surprising joy crowns each of your lives when you know that same Lord Jesus who squeezed so many children to himself that day will one day come. Will one day come and gather each one of you up and take you home to his father who clutched you so tightly and so lovingly to himself. This is what St. John wants the world to know. He writes, consider this. The Father has given us his love. He loves us so much that we are actually called God's dear children, and that's what we are. Yes? Yes. What a precious thing it is for you and I to be able to say, God's my dad. Amen. And now let God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, guard your thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus. Amen.